Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies streamed to your PC, Mac, or TV instantly. Plus, get DVDs by mail in about one business day. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. And by Trim Tonic, a natural appetite-suppressant tonic that takes the edge off of being hungry. Visit TrimTonic.com, that's TrimTonic.com, for more information, and enter coupon code TWIT for a 20% discount.
It's Monday, June 6th, and this is episode 11 of All About Android, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
It's Hello, sir. Monday. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
Are we exhausted yet?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so last week we had the, we complain all the time of the time.
I know,
show.
Right.
So last week it was the three-day weekend, the U.S. Memorial Day weekend, and we came back, we're like, oh, it's weird, it's Tuesday. And now, today was just big announcement day and just heavy workload day. It was kind of crazy. Starting, E3, Apple, all this stuff was happening today. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I said this earlier this morning on Twitter, actually. I posted it and I said, I feel like when I woke up this morning at 8 a.m., I feel like I'm standing on the shore and you're watching a really big wave start to get billed and come towards you. And that's what all today has been like. It's so true.
Well, in light of all of those announcements, this week we're going to be discussing our thoughts on the Apple WWDC keynote as it pertains to Android, because there's a few things, if you've been following and you know, that are kind of related. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about the Droid 3. And in the arena, we've got some keyboard alternate apps.
Right. Specifically for the phone.
For the phone.
For the phone, not a tablet. We're going to stay away from the tablet in the arena this
week. We've been tablet happy lately.
We have. I actually do have a tablet app to review that's not in the arena that I've just been really liking.
Jason is all over the tablet.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like, hey, if we have like a tablet thing in every episode, hey, then great. So
exactly.
I'm happy to bring that this week.
I don't see that there's any problem with that, Jason.
Fantastic.
All right.
I feel better. All right. Should we jump right into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Boom. Okay. Well, we're not going to start off with what you think we might start off with. We're going to do something a little bit different. So there have been some new numbers, and this seems to happen pretty regularly, so we won't spend a whole lot of time on it. But let's see here. There we go. According to the latest data run by Google for its Android developer site, Froyo is the most installed version of the OS, which is no surprise, at 64.6% of all Android phones. This is compared to last March when it was at 61.3%. So there hasn't been a whole lot of a shift when it comes to Froyo. Eclair has actually dropped. Eclair sits in at second place with 21.2% compared to last March at 29%. So that's dropping away. Thankfully, people are getting a little bit more updated out of the Eclair ghetto and being brought into Froyo, I would guess. Gingerbread rounds out the top three at 9.2%. This is where actually a large difference from last March, where Gingerbread was sitting at 1.7%. And then, of course, we have Honeycomb, which is still rather insignificant
point
in comparison.
0.2. Well, see, that's
point
why
last
I can't
March.
Get...
Six.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
0.6 now, 0.2 last March, still pretty low. But hey, there aren't a whole lot of Honeycomb tablets out there right now.
Mm-hmm. That's the real catch with these numbers, is that the majority of the Android devices out there are phones, you know, and so you've already, you're going to close off a whole audience of them to Honeycomb, you know, because the tablets are very early, so.
And of course, the cool thing to kind of look out for here is that the next version, Ice Cream Sandwich, is the version that hopes to kind of bridge the gap between, you know, tablet OS and the phone OS and kind of make them unified. And that we're not going to see that until the end of the year, I believe is what they said at I.O., at least at the earliest. So it's going to be a little while. But, you know, hey, it couldn't come soon enough.
It's the great OS hope.
That's right.
I mean, if you were a new user out there, purchasing a phone, would you not want to get gingerbread on your phone immediately? Would you care?
I would want gingerbread on my phone if I was getting a new phone. Absolutely, because it's the highest version for your phone. You're not going to find honeycomb on your phone. It's just not designed to do that. And I think Google, the way they're kind of locking down and not allowing honeycomb to be open source the way they've done the previous versions, I think is going to prevent that. That's kind of part of why they're doing that, so that developers, at least my guess is, so that developers don't then go, oh, well, we can do whatever we want with honeycomb, so let's shoehorn it into a phone and make it for a subpar experience, when Google's long-term strategy is to bring out ice cream sandwich, which will do just that.
Well, I asked only because in the chat room, Bill Meeks, before the show, had said he got a new phone. I said, which phone you got? And he told me, and I said, oh, it has 2.1. Weird. You didn't go for something that had, you know, gingerbread or whatever. And he said, oh, we're getting the update soon. And then I worry about that. It's like, okay, we're getting the update soon.
Yeah. Everybody says soon. Soon means a lot of things.
It's too vague. Yeah, it's too – I mean, and part of it also is that some – you know, with each OS, I feel as if the older handsets – becomes more of a strain on the processor, you know, like there's a reason why there's a trailing lag of the phones and the OSs, why you still have phones that are still running 2.1, because maybe the phones have some sort of limitation that we don't know about.
Right.
And so it's dicey when you get into these point releases. That's what always bothers me with the OSs, when they're like, oh, we got 2.1, 2.2, 2.3. It's like, okay, well, you know, get to a stable place where we all can be.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Well, I think let's move on to the
bigger news of the day,
bigger elephant,
which
in
is
the
only marginally minorly related to Android, but we're going to try and focus on those elements, the things that kind of have a little crossplay between Android and iOS.
And that's the thing. As you guys were reviewing the news, were you like me going, hey, wait a minute?
Yes,
wait a minute.
Exactly. So today was the big keynote from the WWDC conference, Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, and I followed it pretty closely today, kind of had to for work, and there was a lot of moments where, like you said, Ron, I just said, I can do that with my phone.
Yeah, I recognize that.
So we're going to kind of just concentrate on those aspects. We're not going to talk about things that don't really pertain to Android. But first of all, one of the key points, and this is with regards to when they got to iOS 5, was notifications. So just like us, they're going to be able to swipe down from the top of the phone to see notifications. Now, it looks a little, obviously, it looks different. They've got some animated widgets on the notifications for like weather and things like that. But there you go. If you're looking at, or if you're watching our stream, we're showing you right now what it looks like on the iPad.
Drop down from the top,
iPhone.
Very similar.
So, you know, hooray for them. They can have that.
Although on the honeycomb, it isn't a drop down from the top versus what they're showing the iPad where it is. So that's a little different. I guess they're just universally saying iOS is a notifications from the top. Honeycomb actually comes from the bottom, in the bottom right-hand corner. All of your notifications are stored down there, which I actually kind of like better than what I've been used to for so long on the phone.
You know what, the bottom right notifications remind me a lot of Windows.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's why.
Maybe
it's like built into my brain somewhere in the deep recesses.
Exactly. It's like, hey, this is familiar.
Totally.
I remember this. Wait a minute. No, but I thought notifications are kind of a no-brainer, and I never understood why the iPhone didn't have it. So it's neat to see them adding it. And the swipe down from the top is very familiar, but okay.
also, PC Free, which it translate to over-the-air software updates. They're getting that for iTunes, for everything, basically. Everything is over the air now.
Well, and that's an interesting one for me because, I mean, I've only ever known that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that to have to plug my phone in to download the next version of the OS just seems clunky. Obviously, that's one big thing that Apple is trying to do here with their cloud initiative and everything, is remove the PC, the computer connection requirement from the equation entirely. And I don't know, when I saw this, it was just like, people are going to be really happy about this, because that would be such a pain to have to
do. Right. That's gotten me every time, because I have an iPad as well. And it seems as if every time I plug in that sync cable
or I freeze.
Really? This is how we do it? So it's nice to see them seeing it over the air, and hopefully it won't be completely wiping, you know, and reinstalling. It will just kind of be on the fly.
Yeah, I think that's what they're planning. But, you know, we'll see. we'll see. I still have, you know, a couple iOS devices as well. And, you know, there are some things that I like the syncing for, but quite honestly, I have not did any kind of sync with the iPad and the iPhone for close to 3 weeks now, believe it or not.
Yeah, wow.
I just decide not to. It's like, eh, I just don't want to deal.
Yeah.
All right. And then Twitter is more integrated into the OS, a la what we have called Share, right?
Yeah.
So,
Is it simply just a, like, analogous to clicking the share button and then selecting Twitter?
It's a little more than that. I mean, like, it's more, I think it takes what Android's got with the share function and takes it a little bit of a step forward, because it's a way more integrated way to tweet from applications.
I guess okay, if you're watching our stream, the middle phone there, that's what I was thinking about Share. You know, you pop
The right side is what takes it a little further.
I see.
You see, basically, so, you know, the middle graphic there is exactly that. I want to share it. Okay, do I want to share it via Twitter or via email or text message or something like that? But then if you choose Tweet, you get this iOS native tweet window, which makes you wonder, is there still a need for a Twitter app then?
That's a good question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. Is does this tie directly into a pre-installed Twitter app that's on the
it looks like it.
That,
it looks like it.
So or their official Twitter app? Have to be.
Or is it some sort of like behind the scenes hook of the official Twitter app to enable this? Like if you're an iPhone user and you don't use Twitter, can you turn this off? Mm-hmm. Do you even care? Does it even matter? Or do you need Twitter app to be installed? I don't know. I haven't looked that closely into it because I don't have an iPhone.
We know yet, quite honestly. Yeah. So it seems to me that it's native, so that you wouldn't need a Twitter app. But
how do you handle authentication?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, there's probably some of the features on this native Twitter app probably won't satisfy your needs, is my guess, because there's going to be plenty of things that are stripped away that you normally have in, you know, third-party apps that I'm guessing that they're not going to include.
Well, actually, and now that I think about it, like even the official Twitter app for Android, I never use it because the other apps actually do more things than the things that I really want to do with the Twitter app. So it totally goes uninstalled and unused, even though on some Android phones it actually comes pre-installed. But if it was that way, I would try and remove it just because I have no use for that in particular. I want my Twitter app to do so many more things than the built-in one. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be the same on iOS. Maybe it won't, but we'll see.
All right. And then there was iCloud. Everything's stored in the cloud. The cloud.
Which we knew was coming.
The worst kept secret.
Yeah. Well.
Although they announced it in advance, which was very un-Apple of them to say, these are the revolutionary, in air quotes, things that we're going to talk about next week.
So without really getting into it, I mean, you know, documents and everything cloud. When I just kept thinking, you know, they got into calendar and all of this, I'm like, I have that. I use my Google Calendar. I use my Gmail. I have my contacts all sunk already. I don't like the Apple contacts. I don't like I hate iCal. It's like the worst calendar ever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's gonna take me a lot to go back to that. I love Google Cal. So and then let's talk a little bit about. Did I miss anything with iCloud? I don't think so. Those are kind of
It's just storage, syncing your docs and your pics and all that kind
of
stuff.
That's really cool though, to sync everything.
Five gigs of space. For that, those types of docs specifically.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then iTunes Match. Now, this is where we can get a little bit. We've been talking about Google Music so much lately, and there's no pricing for Google Music, and we've all uploaded all of our tracks to the cloud.
Yeah.
Well,
It took a while. Some of us.
Took me nearly 5 days. I finally got mine all done.
Really?
They're all there.
5 days?
Thank God.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, I wish.
But I got to admit, though, now that they're up there, I love it.
Well,
yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the thing with this is, yes, it's an investment in the beginning. And I mean, for me, it took over 2 weeks, so it could take a long time. And that was only like 7,000 songs. Yes, my upstream is horrible at home. My internet is really not that good. Yeah. Took that long, but after all that pain, which was just leaving the computer on to do its thing, now I have all my music, and I love it.
Well, I've bought music since I did my upload, and it just automatically caught it. I don't have to think; it's just in there. You know, I just see the bar. Oh, uploading! Like, all right, because I bought new music. Very cool. Thank you.
So now we've got the Amazon option, we've got the Google option, and now with iCloud, we got iTunes Match, which I gotta admit is kind of impressive.
It's this is the one thing that did impress me. through the entire announcement. And if you take a look, there's a couple of, I'm trying to look for the chart here. CNET has a good sort of storage breakdown between the music beta by Google, the Amazon Cloud Player, and iTunes on iCloud. And, again, there's no pricing for Google, but I'm sure they're going to have some pricing soon.
They will eventually.
Did they say they would? Did they say they'd be charging?
Yes. They didn't.
I feel like I heard at some point that they said it's free for now. They specifically said it's free for now.
The thing that makes me wonder about that is that what Google services do you pay for?
Yeah, that's true.
If I can get the Google Music and deal with AdSense on there, I'm fine with that. That's cool. If they can figure out some way to monetize it via search, great. The reason why I opted out of Amazon was because of the price. And now with Apple, with their pricing, I mean, $25 a month isn't that bad for the pricing for iTunes Match. Mm-hmm. And of course, they one-up Google instead of Google offers 20,000 songs and Apple's offering 25,000 songs. That's just a number. I mean, Google, I wouldn't be surprised if Google ups theirs to 30,
Got incredibly massive, amount of data centers devoted to this kind of thing. So I don't think it really matters to them a whole lot. Space is not that expensive, and these things are like huge fortresses, filled with that data.
Did you say $25 a month?
Because I did. It's a year. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah. That was my bad. That was me on a rant. I apologize.
and maybe I shouldn't say this, but even for the Google service, if they came back a year from now, like I've already gone through the pain of uploading all my music there. It's already there, and I use it actually almost on a daily basis. So I'm getting hooked on that heroin. Even if they were to come back and say $25 a year, I would pay it, only because you break it down, that's $2 a month to have all of that access to my music. Now, a couple of months ago, I talked about Audio Galaxy, which was using my own computer at home as the kind of cloud to serve this. And as much as I love Audio Galaxy, I'm not using it anymore because I don't need to leave my computer on all the time to serve that music anymore. Google Music does that. Am I willing to pay $2 a month to kind of allow me to continue doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would.
But you're not thinking about iMatch at all.
Well, the matching is, I think, it's a different story.
Yeah.
It would have made a bigger difference to me when I was uploading my music, but now it's all there. Like, that's in the past. It's not like it hurt. It's not like I have a broken leg as a result of it. Like, it's done. My music is there now. I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big difference with the matching service, is that for somebody who's not up on Google Music or Amazon, hasn't gone through the uploading that we do, you don't need to upload to Apple. They'll scan your iTunes, and then they supposedly have everything you have in the cloud. And it will just appear to be there. But that always leaves, things like bootlegs, live music. I have a lot of independent stuff that's not on iTunes.
Right, which allow you to upload. They will scan, and if they don't have it up there, then they'll upload the remaining stuff that you have. I have a lot of bootleg live recordings of bands that I like, and I wonder what the detection... I have to imagine the detection is going to be okay as far as like detecting a live or a cover version or something like that versus the actual studio version. I mean, they must have scanned these things for digital fingerprints or whatever to know that.
I feel like Amazon's going to drop their price,
They gotta. They're getting priced out.
And they're seeing this and it's like, fine. We'll drop it to $10 a year. Or I don't know. They'll just drop their tiered pricing.
It's the price of being first to market, unfortunately. They set the bar. And then Google reacted, now Apple's reacting. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon's got to change their tune somehow, although I don't know how they would monetize, because the gap for Amazon is so large by that, going by that megabyte storage base price. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, you look at, I mean, I have 14,000 songs. I calculated it. It would have been like more than $200 on Amazon to do what I did on Google for free.
Yeah. I will say one thing about this announcement in general, and that is that I think it's big news that Apple has done this, for sure. A little bit bigger news that Google and Amazon are also kind of doing this. But I think the really big news for me is that Apple has worked out a deal with all of the labels to allow them to do this whole, this whole approach, which is to say $25 a year allows you to match songs that not only were purchased through iTunes, but you may have, ripped from your own CD or downloaded from Napster back in the day or whatever. They basically monetize for the labels, you know, all these pirated versions in essence of this music, and given the labels kind of a revenue stream into that. And the fact that they've convinced the labels into that is kind of huge going forward. I really hope that it means that eventually Google and Amazon and these other companies can kind of compete in the same way that Apple can. I have hope in that. Yeah. It just means more of the labels kind of getting money for stuff that they feel they've lost out on over the years. You know?
Yeah.
So you don't think it's a badge of honor that Google's doing it rogue right now?
I love it.
If they had the choice to do it, you know, in a more legitimate way,
they would have. I mean, they were trying. You know, that was all the talk that they were trying this whole time, and it just broke down. So, did we exhaust iTunes Match?
I'm tired of talking about it.
But you know, I think it's a decent. I'm actually intrigued by you know, iTunes Match and iCloud, and I don't know. I have to think about it. I really do. I think I still have to think about what I'm going to end up using. But again, like you, Jason, all my stuff is already at Google Music. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I want is more social with Google Music.
Yes.
Does anybody care that there's no store?
Yeah, because I was just about to say that's a huge omission.
So you have to go to Amazon or iTunes to buy your stuff.
But that's the thing. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't mind there not being in the store, because I get my music from so many different places. I get it from Amazon. I get it from eMusic. I get it from all these different places. I'm okay with Google not having a storefront. It'd be nice if they did, but it's the social feature that I miss the most. Like, I want to be able to say, hey, I'm listening to this song, and tweet out a link. Or make a playlist and share it with my friend or something like that. That's what I want Google to do more than anything.
Yeah, you can't really tie your Last FM, you know, plays into Google Music where you can with iTunes.
There's a Chrome. If you use Google Chrome, there's a Chrome extension that scrabbles it to LastFM. I'll send it to you. It's awesome.
Oh, okay, that's pretty sweet. Nice.
Solve that one.
I mean, you know, Google Music has other issues, I would say, that iTunes has kind of already figured out, because they are, what, 10 versions deep at this point? Yeah. But, you know, editing your ID3 tags, I'm just going to throw this out there, because this is still a huge thorn in my side with Google Music, is that I'm going into all the music that I've uploaded, and there is, like, art from one album that's been placed on another album. No reason. It's fine in my iTunes library. It intermixed this data in the ID3 tags. And so then I have to go in and, you know, it's Google, right? I should be able to go in there and say, find album art. And it can do a search, pull in the album art and whatever, although I don't know the legalities behind that. What I have to do is open up a browser, find the art, drag it into a folder, open up that song's metadata, click browse. You know, I have to do this whole step-by-step thing just to correct the fact that the right album art, you know, isn't there and it got mixed up with something else. Just ID3 tag editing in general in Google could be improved a lot. That would help it a lot, I think.
Jason wants a fix, please.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not the only one to complain about that.
I've noticed it too on my album art, so... All right. Let's move on.
Let's talk to Apple.
All right, hardware.
It's time for hardware.
What show is this? Apple or Android? Come on.
I know.
I think we kept it more or less in the Android.
We did. It's hard not to react to it. But hardware. Okay,
totally.
Cool.
All right. So we'll talk about a couple of things. You know, Google I/O was, you know, a little while ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago at this point. But we did have a chance to play around with a lot of hardware. And a pair of phones that we kind of got a closer look at while we were there is the Sony Xperia Mini and the Mini Pro. And just kind of want to talk about it just really briefly. Because we have some, you know, video kind
Look
of showing
how mini
it.
This is the mini. It's so small.
And it's really tiny. It's kind of fat though. it's definitely a fat phone because it's condensed so small. But you know, they were interesting phones. They're launching with Gingerbread 3-inch multi-touch display, 1 gigahertz processor. They have, if you can see in the video, they have these custom shortcuts on 4 sides of the screen that allow you to kind of launch, you know, whatever apps you have programmed into there. And then as well, 720p HD video, which from what I understand That's the smallest phone that you can get that does that. So that's one selling point. And then, of course, they have the Xperia Mini Pro, which is a version of the Mini, but it has a slide-out QWERTY keyboard underneath. So it's that tiny as well as a slide-out QWERTY keyboard, if that's your deal, if that's kind of what you want. It also has a front-facing camera. And I guess both of these phones are going to be available in four colors sometime Q3, end of Q3, August, somewhere around there. We took a look at them, spent a brief amount of time kind of playing around with them. Certainly not the phone for me. I can't say that I really love the overlay that they've put onto it. The four corners shortcut thing is pretty interesting, but I wouldn't want my OS to be locked to that.
I was trying to figure out who is the user for this phone.
Oh, this is totally the LA trendy, not really, seriously, not techie, but, the smaller, the better, I could totally see, I know people who would totally use this phone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I mean, like
I would lose that phone so easily. Well, it'd be lost. Yeah. It'd be buried in my purse. I couldn't find it. And I know it. Yeah.
I can't use that screen or those keys because my fat fingers.
I know. It just wouldn't work for me either.
But I could totally see a non-techie, a non-hacker, kind of like a PR person using that phone.
Oh, you're talking people from Entourage or something,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly, because it's a little stylish. It's a little, it's that whole, like, oh, look how sexy my phone is. It's so small. It's,
people
from
Entourage have iPhones. Come on.
Yeah. Oh. All right, fine.
I don't know. Ayaz actually in the chat room put it best. He said Sidekick fans, which I would agree with that completely.
Yeah,
but these are much smaller. Way smaller than the Sidekick. But
they are. But right. But they felt good. Actually, the Mini Pro that has the slide-out QWERTY keyboard had a nice kind of flip feel to it that I kind of miss from flip phones. And what you got on the Sidekicks, where it was almost like a switchblade effect, where it was like, it come out. So if that's your deal, then go for it.
All right. Coming out on June 15th is the HTC Sensation 4G available on T-Mobile. Hits Walmart as early as June 12th. We've talked about this before. I am super psyched about this phone. Ships with Gingerbread, dual core, 8 megapixel camera, also front facing camera, pre-installed 8 gig micro SD card, 4.3 inch screen, and again, like a front facing camera. So here's some video if you're watching us. It's got a beautiful kind of
unibody
sort of
curved construction.
Design.
That's nice.
Slow lighting reveal.
Contoured glass.
You could almost put
long,
like
5 minute and 44 second promo for this phone. But
you could almost put like porno music over the top.
You probably could, yeah. Some other features are 720p recording, and you can actually edit your movie on the phone. It kind of was very iPhone-esque. Mm-hmm. It looked. I don't know. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that I've held a Samsung Galaxy 2, I would be looking at this phone today.
This is a sexy phone.
It is a sexy phone. What do you think, Ron? Are you going to change? We don't get NFC anyway, so screw the Nexus.
I have no reason to switch from my Nexus S, but this is very tempting.
I like the mail. Oh, the mail client is what I really like, and that's what we're showing here. And now it's moving to the browser.
It's just a different style of the mail client.
I like it. It just seems fluid and, I don't know, at least it looks efficient to me.
I mean, it looks like the next gen of the Nexus One. I mean, it looks very how HTC has developed from the Nexus One. I just love HTC. I had an HTC phone years ago, and it was clunky and it was poorly designed. And it's great to see them getting their groove on with the design of these phones, and both in terms of the bezel and the hardware itself, but also the interfaces and things like that. So I applaud it. This is very tempting.
Yeah, HTC always, as far as I'm concerned, has had just a really good kind of hardware design quality to it.
It's the past 2 years alone. Before that, they were it was anonymous Chinese company. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's true. I think when I really noticed it was with the Nexus One, and just seeing that was an HTC device, and before I knew that it was HTC, just seeing it and going, wow, that's a really nice looking piece of hardware. Been waiting for an Android phone that actually looks nice. Hint, Motorola Droid does not look nice. It's clunky. And we've actually got more news in the Droid front. this is a perfect time to transition there. Let's do it, Ron.
All right. So on the Droid 3, the Motorola Droid 3, news of that leaked out. We've got some videos that were posted up on Engadget, and it confirms that there's going to be an 8-megapixel camera and 1080p recordings, which is pretty cool. It's got a 5-row QWERTY keyboard. Like I said, an 8-megapixel camera, do 1080p HD recording. But apparently, from the videos, it looks like there's a lack of a camera button or any micro USB or mini HDMI on the phone itself.
Oh, no, sorry. There is micro USB and mini HDMI.
Oh, I
put that comma, and I meant to put a period. Sorry about that.
Sorry, my note.
No. Lack of camera button, though, which, I mean, on the Motorola Droid, that's one thing that I actually use a lot is camera button because it's there. It makes it easier to use as an actual camera, so...
Yeah.
You know, just watching these videos, doesn't it look big and chunky? I guess that's the Motorola
thing. That's the Motorola design MO for some reason.
I'm not a Motorola girl. I'm just not. I'm admittedly HTC or Samsung. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, I like Motorola as a company, but with the handsets, it's been on the clunky side of things. So, I don't know about
big
that.
And
so this is not your phone, Jason.
No.
Okay, we eliminate that immediately. Not Jason's phone.
No, I don't think that I'm going to go with another Motorola Droid. Not the Droid 3. The lip just always has bothered me.
I never understood it at all. Or the keyboard itself. There was like the trackpad. I didn't like that either. It was
they've improved that a little bit, but agreed. I just don't use a hardware keyboard. Even though it's there, I never use it. And anytime I try, my fingers are just too big and fat for it. So,
I was so loyal to the manual keyboard. And then once I got the Nexus One, and we're going to talk about keyboard replacement apps. Yeah. But like now I can't even imagine going because the thickness that it adds to the phone, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, let's get this show rolling with some apps. What do you say? All right. And, just news that's kind of come out in the last couple of days is this Zinio app. What do you know about that, Ron?
I got to admit, I'm a huge, huge fan of the promise of tablets and magazine apps absorbing content and, you know, getting magazines on tablets. And they've kind of done it on the iPad, but it's been a little slow to the game over on Android. But now Zinio, which is one of those early apps that does magazines on Android, finally has released their tablet version. And not only that, but they've made it available so you can try 24 magazines totally free, which is the way to do it, if you ask me. Like, if you're going to roll this out, like, make the, you know, sample the content, get hooked on it.
Absolutely.
Really interesting selection from stuff like Us Weekly to Rolling Stone to Fader to some really interesting magazines. The interface is nice. I like it. But my one complaint about it is it's just scans of the magazines. There's no interactivity like with the Daily on the iPad or with Wired on the iPad. Like, it's just all you do is swipe left and right and you see the pages of the magazine as they present as you know, in printed version. So you're not really taking advantage of the interface that a tablet brings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
a flat out replacement for buying the Dead Trees version.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, that's awesome. Yeah. And like, if you're a diehard Rolling Stone fan and you want to get Rolling Stone every week, you don't want to deal with the magazines, whatever, that's awesome. But like, it'd be so much better to be able to tap on and hear a song while you're reading the interview or see more photos from the photo shoot instead of it just being a left to right spread. You know, like almost like a PDF reader. It's a glorified PDF reader.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed in that. But I mean, but for what it is, it does it really well. The little bottom navigation works pretty well, and you can zoom in. You can zoom in an article. Doesn't render, but it pops into focus really nicely. Mm. So it's not like, you know, sometimes when you zoom, you get some pixelation and stuff like that. Yeah. This, you don't have that here.
Sorry, Harper's Bazaar doesn't really have articles. It's all ads. apparently.
Yeah, I played with it a little bit last night, and I like it. I actually found some magazines, some like audio production magazines in there that I was like, oh, okay, that's
Zinio,
in there.
Zinio has a lot of content in there. It's just flat. It's just very, very flat. So
yeah, totally. I did find it to be a little laggy in playing with it, which you can kind of see in the video where you're kind of like trying to do things and you're realizing that what it's loading are just really high res, large pictures, you know,
in this document format,
which is what you're saying.
There's so much opportunity with like linking articles, on the table of contents page, just tapping on the article you want to read. And while it does do that, like the Rolling Stone app, it does do that from the table of contents page. Beyond that, there's no other links or anything else out there, you know? So, I don't know, just a little disappointing, but it's a step in the right direction. And it's, if you have a tablet and you want to get magazines, you can get 20 free right there. So.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, check that out. Very 23. Cool. And I think that's until the middle of this month that you can get those free magazines, and then they switch it over and, you know, they've got you addicted. And so you'll buy lots of magazines, supposedly. So what do you have?
You've got a big show old and tell here, gear. Right? Yeah. Okay. I've got this big old speaker here. This is the Sonos S5 speaker. And basically it's wireless music in your home. And it really, I will just say, the installation is very quick. You literally, kind of plug it in, connect it to your router. And then the cool thing for Android is that there is an Android Sonos app. Let me see if I can get this playing for you. So we've got two speakers in the office, actually. But this is the one that's next to me. It's called Office. And so when I load that... Now
it
I'm
loads
going to
it, screen.
It, well, it loads the last song that I was playing.
Right.
So I was playing 10,000 Maniacs. But if you really want to see what it can do, it can also allow you to add your entire music library. You can stream your entire music library. You can stream radio stations, Pandora Radio. I've got Ardio hooked up. You can do Mog. You can do tons of. I even hooked up Twit Live. So here are the nice. Other music. iHeartRadio. Napster, Rhapsody, Stitcher. I really love Stitcher. There's tons of podcasts, including Twit Live podcasts that are there. Wolfgang's Vault is awesome for like old school live recordings. And they're adding more and more each day. What I love about it is that, okay, you could be DIY. You could, hook up your computer and, play your music off your browser or whatever and hook it up to a speaker. But this just happens instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And the music quality is really, really good. I don't know. Ron, have you had a chance to play with a Sonos at any chance?
I've played with the Sonos at my friend's houses. I don't own a Sonos, and I played with it at houses. I played with it, the iPhone app, and it's a great, great product. And I've been waiting for it to come out to Android. So this has actually got me. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it.
Sonos.
Although my apartment's so small, I can't justify it. But but it's so cool. It's so cool.
The Sonos app is free. For the Android, so you just have to, hook up your services and whatnot. But I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. I've been testing it for about a month now, and I gotta say, I've been really, really enjoying, the experience and just having, with this remote, I can actually control both speakers that are here in at Twit. So I can control the one that's out there and this one at the same time, simultaneously. I could play the same music and have it, and raise the volume on both at the same time. I could play, classical music in one and, rock music in the other if they're in different rooms. I like that kind of, that's really cool and very flexible. The kicker is that it's pretty expensive. It's close to $500 for this thing. So
For the hardware.
For the hardware, yeah.
But the thing is that the application or the Sonos itself, like this is like that's the future. Like
exactly.
Those are the things that when we were growing up, it's like, hey, from my phone, I'll be able to control the speaker in the kitchen, and you can. So, so the hardware is a bit of an investment, but if you have a big house, it's so, like everyone I know who's gotten it have been like, I don't know how I lived without it.
Yeah. And the other thing, what was interesting to me is in light of Google I.O. and in light of, Android at Home announcements, I actually got a chance to talk to the CEO of Sonos, and he said to me, I said to him, what are you thinking? They want you to just take your CD and tap it, and then it's going to play music. What does that do to you guys? And he says, in their research that they've done, most people like controllers. Most people like to be able to control, their TV, their music or whatever with a remote control device. And that's what they're doing here.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing a really good job.
There's a lot of people in the chat room that are saying, price is too high. Not worth it at all. But you're paying for the hardware, right?
So you're paying for the hardware. And I really wanted to play with this. And I'm really just kind of reviewing the app, which is very very easy to use. And the knock is that Android users don't pay for a lot of things. Okay, I get that. And I kind of was like, I'm going to take a risk at showing this off. But I think as a technology, this is really, really cool. So it's something, you know, and like you said, Ron, it's the future. So I'm really digging this. I mean, I haven't, you know, this is a review unit. Haven't quite dropped the money yet, but I'm really thinking about it, actually. Because I like the ease of use. So
cool. Awesome. Well, I know I teased at the top of the show that I was going to talk about something on the tablet, but we are running long. I'm going to hold it off until next week.
Oh, man. So we're going to...
We're going to go ahead and do an ad real quick, before we move into the arena. So this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix. Netflix delivers movies directly to your home. That saves you time, money, and hassle. You can instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies streamed directly to your PC or Mac, or streamed to your TV via Netflix device like Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii. Plus, you can get the DVDs by mail in about a business day. You can watch as many movies as you want. You can anytime you want, actually. You can also get these on your Android device if you happen to have one. There is a Netflix app that you can get. And let's see here. Recommendations. I just saw a really good good movie on live streaming called Animal Kingdom. It won the Grand Jury Prize at the 2010 Sundance Film Festival. It's an Australian crime drama that I just never heard about. And then a friend of mine on Twitter said, one of the best movies I saw last year. And sure enough, it was on live streaming or the instant streaming. And another one, if you haven't seen it, a rockumentary, if you will, The Story of Anvil. Which is awesome heavy metal documentary. It's just, it's not what you think it's going to be. Like, it just ends up being just really good all around. It's fantastic.
It's one of the most optimistic, like, live for your dreams movies you'll ever see. Like, don't worry about the music. Don't worry about heavy metal. Like, if you're somebody who's passionate about something and you really want to put your everything into making your dreams come true, watch Anvil. You'll be so inspired.
Yeah, it was really good.
I have one recommendation.
Yes, go.
I love this new show. Well, whatever. It's called Sherlock from BBC. Sherlock Holmes in the modern times, living in London with Dr. John Watson. And I think there's like three or four 90-minute episodes available on instant streaming right now. I have total crush on Benedict Cumberbatch. He plays Sherlock Holmes. And they're shooting season two
right
now.
That's reason enough right there.
Both of these actors are going to be in The Hobbit, too. So.
Oh, yeah. It's got Martin Freeman, who was on the original Office, the original British Office, who I love. He's great. So,
I love this series. So watch it.
Awesome. Well, you can check all that stuff out. You can instantly watch these movies or choose from thousands of TV episodes and other movies that we didn't talk about. When you register for a free trial membership, go to netflix.com/twit and you can sign up for your free trial membership. Again, that's netflix.com/twit. And we thank Netflix for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. And with that, let's get physical in the arena.
Two enter, one lives. The Android Arena.
Hey, so Android Arena. Boom. So last week, we talked all about tablet optimized, probably helped. Well, if the earlier story was any indication, 0.6% of you listening to this podcast. But we thought it was a good, you know, a good time to kind of take a look at some really cool tablet apps. And we asked you to vote on those. And as you can see, Eileen.
Oh, my God.
I believe you won with Battleheart.
I feel like a beauty queen. Wow. Can I do a wave? Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you for voting for my app. I finally
won. Overwhelming.
There we go.
No, it wasn't overwhelming. News 360 was pretty close.
Yeah, so Battleheart, the game that you showed off, 53%. News 360, second place at 38%. And Drawing Pad, 9% for third place. But I bought Drawing Pad. I actually tried to get my daughter, who's like 16 and a half months, to use it. And she started to cry. Like, not totally all out cry, but she got really, like, fidgety. Like, it made her nervous or something. So I don't know what that means. She loves the talking Tomcat. She doesn't love a drawing pad for some reason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. She'll learn to love that.
She'll get older. She'll get into it. Yeah.
She'll love to draw. So this week, we thought we would kind of bring the focus back to phones a little bit and talk about something that I'm sure almost everybody that has an Android phone has thought about at one point or another, which is, can I find a keyboard that I like better than the one comes installed with my phone? Because I don't really like that one very much. There's got to be better ones out there. Well, we've taken a look at a few. So who do we want to start off with here?
Looks like you got mine loaded up, huh?
Yeah.
What's that?
You got mine loaded up?
Oh, I do, in the preview that no one can see. So we'll start off with you, Eileen.
All right. Well, I've got SwiftKey X Beta, and it's free right now, public beta in the Android marketplace. And let me just show you kind of what it looks like. I'm going to launch the SpringPad app, which is a sort of like a personal help, or it's kind of like Evernote, really. But I just want to show you. Oh, this is going to be awkward. It's going to be hard for me to type. So this is what it looks like. I have the dark keyboard set. You can actually get it in white. Now, the you guys know, a lot of you have already downloaded SwiftKey keyboard. That's also available still in the App Store. What's great about this new keyboard is that it's learning based on if you want to input your Gmail information, your Facebook, and your Twitter. So it's learning how you type. And suggesting and supposedly making you better and faster. If you see my settings, I've only been 28% efficient, but that's, you know, I'm still working on my efficiency.
Oh, it gives you efficiency ratings?
It does, yeah. So let me show you. So actually, let me just show you how to type here. Hi, guy. Oh, it knows I want to say that.
Sometimes I like to just follow it through on the full sentence and just see what it spells out for me.
In the... United States of America. Interesting. And I have not done this yet. And Europe gets the... they really know me well. I was wondering if you have...
And it gets nonsensical at some point.
So that's the keyboard. And it, to me, I actually really, really enjoy using it. Now, I want to just show you the settings here. I'm going to go into the keyboard... area, language, keyboard. Oh, there we go. I've got many installed here, as you can see. But I'm going to go to beta and the settings. So you could change the language profile, the theme, and the layout, even the kind of QWERTY keyboard you want. That's really good.
A ZERTY.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of that either. I'm like, what is that? Okay. theme. So I picked dark, and there's dark and light.
Arrow keys. I didn't realize that was in the settings for this one. Yeah. That's great.
Okay, so these are my pathetic stats.
I'm always wanting arrow keys on my keyboard.
I'm 32% more efficient. I guess that's better than 30 or anything below. So my keystrokes entered, saved. So it gives you some stats, some advanced typing style, if you want rapid, fire, or precise. I like autocorrection, actually. I tried doing not autocorrection, and I was terrible. You know, here you can kind of use this... slider here to for gesture sensitivity. There's tons of voice recognition. You have that installed. There's tons and tons of options is what I like. And what's not on here, because I've already inputted, is the fact that you sign in with your Facebook, your Gmail, and your Twitter, and it learns your spelling.
Yeah, that was a really kind of a big key feature of this, which is actually a relaunch of an older version of SwiftKey that was in the market. This is like a new version that's a beta. But it scans all of your networks if you're willing to allow it in.
Yeah. I mean, that's some people, it's going to be sketchy. Yeah. Some people don't want to do that. But I've been really happy with this keyboard. And I haven't seen the need to go back, quite honestly. So I'm happy.
I feel like that's the thing that happens when you get one of these keyboard replacements. You can never imagine going back to the default keyboard.
Although every once in a while I do. Yeah. Maybe just to remember.
Yeah.
Remember why I switched. So, I don't know if it's just a general Android thing, but after a while of anything, I kind of get itchy. Like I need a little bit of a change.
Okay.
Even if it's just to try it out and then end up right back where I started.
I think that's an Android thing. I think you're used to the ability to do that.
To be able to do that, yeah.
Well, that's it. That's SwiftKey X Beta.
Oops. Okay. Awesome. Cool. Well, I spoke a few weeks ago about a tablet keyboard that I was really digging called Thumb Keyboard. And I love this keyboard on the tablet. My typing is so much better since I started using the split keyboard. And actually, if you saw the Windows, Windows 8 announcement? Is that right? That has the Windows 8 where they've completely changed the UI. And if you see their keyboard implementation on their tablet versions, it's split like this. So they're going
that
route.
They did
that
on iOS today too, actually.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Okay, I missed that. So Thumb Keyboard on the tablet allows you to kind of do that. And I mean, I've just been using it a lot. So I use this as kind of an opportunity to take a look at Thumb Keyboard for the phone, because it's not just for the tablet. It is also, you can install it on your phone. So I will attempt to get this sucker in focus here and move the microphone. doing the other camera here is very difficult. Okay, so let's hop into my Twitter client so that I can pull up a compose and kind of start to show you the keyboard here at an angle. So what I have here is actually Thumb Keyboard. You'll notice that it's not split. You have the ability to split it, but I've noticed that when I have it split, and I'll show you what that looks like real quick. I can go into settings from the keyboard here, general keyboard settings. Where is it? Theme. Oh, yeah. Well, that's one thing, and I think I mentioned this when I covered it on the tablet. There are a good amount of kind of different themes that affect the layout, kind of the color scheming of your keyboard. This is one way that you can do it. They've got something in here that replicates like the iPad. They've got a gingerbread, a honeycomb.
That's cool.
I use
like
the dark
that.
And light gray. It kind of does a really cool. good job of separating, you know, kind of your special keys versus your character keys between dark and light. So keyboard layout, this is where you can kind of start to program things on which version you get. One cool thing is it has a custom layout combination. So you can set a different layout for portrait as you can for landscape, because I mean, they kind of require different methods of typing, right? So portrait layout I have set to standard layout. I could do a split large layout, and I'll show you what that looks like. It's a here, hold on. I'm just waiting for it to load again. It's way funkier. And I initially thought that this was going to be really handy for me. It's just so difficult to get used to typing like this. Like
it's like a video game.
Yeah, it's like you have to reprogram your fingers, you know, your left finger to go on the top row. And for audio listeners, essentially it takes the QWERTY side of the keyboard and stacks it on top of the YOPE side of the keyboard so that your right hand has just, you know, the bottom third of the screen and your left hand has the middle of the screen, essentially, of the typing row. It essentially, what they're trying to do, I think, is to kind of give you a little bit more room for the keys. But I just had a really hard time kind of programming my mind to deal with that, to typing like that. And I was flubbing it up all over the place. So I ended up just going with the general keyboard settings, the regular layout. And I actually like that a lot. But as you can see here, there's a few different types of ways that you can set this up, both for tablet as well as for phone.
So many options. That's great.
And, you know, it takes a little bit of time to kind of get it set up to your preferred method. You also have keyboard dimensions. So if you, in portrait mode, feel like your keyboard is just not tall enough, I guess, then you could set this up to like 160. And I'll test it here. And it kind of it brings it up. Now we're on the regular keyboard, but it's grown the size of it. Definitely too much for my liking. But but if you wanted to, you have the ability to kind of make those changes. So let me see here. So it's highly customizable. There's this cursor key row on the bottom that I find extremely useful, because I can't tell you how many times I'm typing in the field to enter something out and I need the cursor to go in between a period and a letter or something
yes,
like that. And you type a million times to try and get it there. Just drop it and then use the cursor to kind of skip over. Something that a hardware keyboard, you know, does very easily. Now you can kind of mimic that in the software realm. It's true multi-touch, so I could, you know, press hold down the shift key and hit the characters and it's going to make all of them capped. It can include something that they call the Bigram suggestions, which I think, you know, probably alludes to something different, which essentially allows for contextual recommendations for word correction. So it might take something like I don't know. It might. It'll essentially take like thumb, and it'll suggest that your next word be keyboard. You know, is one horrible example. So the things that I don't necessarily care about it are that split keyboard is really hard to use. I'm sure if you stuck with it, kind of similar to like if you use swipe. Well, which is the one that's coming up next. It's a little teaser, but that one was hard for me to use because I wasn't willing to invest the time into kind of reprogramming my brain to do it. I'm sure with the split keyboard, it's kind of the same thing. If you really took the time to get used to using it, it'd probably be a good thing. And that's really it. I actually have really enjoyed using it. I think I'm going to stick to it. It doesn't do as much of the predictive stuff as SwiftKey, though. And I think that's what really sells most people on SwiftKey is that it's kind of presenting to you what you might want to say next. And that's really handy. So that is Thumb Keyboard. Check it out. It is, what is it? It's $2.54 in the Android market. I think it's totally worth it. It's been totally worth it for me.
Awesome.
All right. And Ron, you are up next.
Yeah. So when we talked about keyboard replacements, the first thing I thought of was the one, my first keyboard replacement. You never forget your first time. And for me, that was swipe. And I know a lot of the folks in the chat room have been talking about the pros and cons of swipe already. One of the immediate cons of swipe is that it's kind of hard to get your hands on it. Yeah. It's not available in the Android marketplace. You actually have to go to Swipe's website to apply for and log into the beta program that they have for Android. But you know, it's not that. And then you've got to go to their website on your browser and download the APK and all that kind of stuff. But once you do that, it's no problem. And actually, it's been great to see Swipe evolve the installation process now, where I just installed the latest version, and it's so easy to get it on the phone. And so that's actually not that big of a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. But once you get it installed, Swipe's big thing is, like its name, it's a new paradigm with basically how to use a keyboard. Instead of doing the typing of the keys, basically what Swipe allows you to do is it allows you to play Connect the Dots. And all you do is basically move your thumb around the keyboard to the keys that you know, in the direction of the keys that you would be tapping. And it then is able to predict what you're trying to say. When I first got it, this blew my mind, and it totally increased my ability to type faster. Like with any predictive technology, you're going to get some wackiness. You're going to get some craziness. Sometimes it's going to get things wrong. If your finger lingers on a key a little too long, it might misinterpret it. But from what I found is that its ability to learn the way you swipe is really, really, really solid. And the more you use it, the better it gets. And Aileen has it here up on her phone. You can see it. You can still type like a regular keyboard. You can just tap away. But if you then, want to, use the swiping function, and it gives you this little line to show you the connect the dots that you're doing. And what I do is like, I just keep swiping. I do the whole sentence and then I see what I got wrong and I go back and fix it. You can go word to word where you swipe a word and it'll come up with a little menu with its suggestions and you choose which one is right. But if you're on a roll and you're swiping away, I find it's probably for me about 75 to 80% accurate. Which is pretty good considering how many typos I was making on the stock keyboard, trying to do the tapping with my fat thumb. The one good thing is that the new version of Swipe, the keys are a little bigger than the standard default Android keyboard. Not as big as they possibly could be on yours, Jason, but
they are.
Just the fact that they're a little bigger makes it a little easier to use. Mm-hmm. And I really like it. I found once I installed Swipe, I was like, I can't imagine typing any other way. And it's always one of the first things I install on a new phone. One of my own little criticisms is that the bottom row gets really crowded really quickly, and that space bar is tiny.
Yeah,
and I find myself rolling my thumb and hitting the voice command key more often than I want to be, which is kind of annoying. Aileen just stumbled upon the swipe key there, which is if you press the swipe key, you get a little neat little tutorial as well as access to the options. One of the neat little options I like about it, you can't change the visual look of it, which is fine. Cosmetically, it looks fine. But what you can change is you can change the weighting that you want to have the application pay attention to, saying, listen, would you rather have the word be accurate or would you rather have the prediction be fast? And if you're concerned about accuracy, you can scale that accuracy all the way up and it will take, it will lag a little bit, but it will predict a little better. So I like the fact that you can juggle between those different kind of options. So I don't know. I mean, Swipe is, for me, it changed the way I use my keyboard. And I, like I said, I can't go back. Oh, the other neat thing is it's got the haptic feedback. So when you touch a key, it kind of there's audio as well as a little vibrate.
Yeah.
I immediately turn the audio off because I can't stand the tick 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 tick. But the vibrating is really cool, and I like that because it's a little bit of feedback knows that you're doing it, especially when you're tapping and typing. So.
Yeah, I like the haptic feedback on these little keyboards. It was one thing that I didn't use at first, and then once I kind of stumbled upon it by default on a keyboard, like I kind of haven't gone back. It's reassuring to know that you're kind of hitting whether you're hitting the right one or not.
But I can't live without swipe. So my vote goes to swipe.
I haven't used swiped in a long time, but that was pretty easy what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was just the reason why it's weird and I was a little slow is because I'm tilted as I do the demo. But really, if I was just going, it's pretty fast, pretty easy. You're making me jealous.
Dun, 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 dun.
I gotta admit, the new version is pretty sexy. It's because I wiped it from my phone. I wanted to go from scratch and I want to do the whole installation process, and it went really smoothly. So
yeah,
nice. I strongly recommend it.
Awesome.
Let me win a poll, please, guys.
Swipe is a really popular one.
And it
actually comes pre-installed on a lot of phones too. So they've made some really good deals. It's interesting that you can't get it in the Android market still.
They've done a lot of, you know, like OEM deals where it appears on a Samsung phone or stuff like that. But I don't know what the reasoning for it not being in the marketplace is. But for me, you know, I hold my phone with one hand. I do everything with my thumb. I can swipe and connect the dots like a mofo. So I love it.
Nice.
You can swipe and connect the dots like a mofo.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of you use the stock keyboard, but we're not including that in the little poll here. So if you go to, and here it is, it's poll.cm/1830. You can vote for your favorite non-stock keyboard for your phone of the ones that we talked about. That's Swipe, Swift Key, and Thumb Keyboard. Go check it out and let us know kind of what you think. I think this will be kind of a close one, at least between Swipe and Swift Key, which seem to be the two that I hear about a lot. And then Thumb Keyboard, maybe not so much in the phone space, but it's still pretty cool. So let us know what you think. Before we move on to your feedback, I want to talk just a real quick minute here about Trim Tonic, which is a natural appetite suppressant tonic. Takes the edge off of being hungry. What makes Trim Tonic unique is that it uses no stimulants to get this effect, no caffeine, no hoodia. Instead, what it does, it has 8 active ingredients, some of which have clinical studies showing their ability to curb appetite and reduce body fat. 3 main ingredients are Acaranthus aspera, Ervingia gabonensis seed extracts, both of which are tropical plants used in India and Africa for curbing appetites. And the 3rd is cocoa leaf extract. Man, that looks delicious.
It tastes like fudge.
Be sure to visit braintonic.com for more information. Enter coupon code TWIT for a 20% discount. We think you might be a little thirsty. Are you doing okay? Are you eating and drinking enough? You might need to drink a little Trim Tonic. Just make us feel a little bit better and do that. All right, let's move on to the feedback.
You've got mail.
Ooh, it appears that we do have mail. So let's see here. First things first, we'll start off with a voicemail. And let me pull this bad boy up here real quick. This is from Liam, who I think might have a little bit of inspiration with Michael Bay.
In a world where the iPhone tries to decimate the market, only one team can stop them, and they are All About Android.
Reporting for duty.
Jason Howell, the brave. Ron Richards, the great. And Eileen Rivera, the wise. One week at a time, they put the evil Dr. iPhone back in his place. Tune in next week and witness an All About Android attempts to stop the evil Dr. iPhone yet again. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes! We kick butt!
The wise.
Says
that
Liam.
Was the wise. That's awesome.
You are very wise, like, I gotta say.
What's his face in X-Men who does this in the new first
Xavier, class? The little visual that I'm reading your mind. Yeah.
I'm reading my mind for those of you who can't see me. My hand is on my temple and I'm reading your mind.
Nice. Well, thanks for doing that. I actually found the music for that. But Liam... He had two attempts. He actually did one earlier and then called back. He was like, you know what? I rejiggered it and made it better. So nice. So I thought it deserved a little bit
That's
of Michael
awesome.
Bay music.
Thank you so much, Liam. I feel like a superhero now. I feel like I belong in X-Men first class.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
Awesome. So, Eileen, why don't you take the first email?
Yeah,
I just realized
actually,
we didn't assign these. But
yeah, this is from Eric O'Bain from the Dominican Republic. And he said that he has recently discovered our show. And download our podcast from the Zoom Marketplace. So says he loves our show and the app reviews and everything else, and was listening to the latest podcast this morning on the way to work and wanting to suggest to Eileen to install Titanium Backup on the G Slate. Make a backup of the phone or any other tab you may want to use. That way the Titanium Backup should be able to restore the app data from the original place and you won't lose your progress. In theory, I
in
don't own a
that
tablet.
You were put-
in the game. Remember
okay.
last week I was right. talking about Battleheart and I was giving you the tablet and I'm going to lose all my XP. I don't own a tablet, he says, and I have tested it yet, but I believe you should be able to do that. Please let me know and let me know if it works. We got your email so late. I already wiped it and gave it to Jason. I'm so sorry. But Titanium Backup, just as a note, is only for rooted phones.
That's right. Yeah, so it's only for rooted.
So we would have had to root this review unit that probably we wouldn't have wanted to do. So
yeah, I don't know if that's any way to return a review unit back to the hardware manufacturer. We went ahead and got super user access and then installed a new UI over the top of it. And yeah, no, we didn't do anything
we didn't
like
do
that.
but that's a good idea, actually. It says also in another subject, having issues with my micro SD card, and I wanted to know if there's an app that would allow me to make a cloud backup of my entire device. We didn't prepare that part, did we?
Cloud backup of my entire device. I mean,
there's been a few that I've run across. I can't remember the names right now.
I guess it depends on what you mean, entire device. Do you mean like an image of your device so that it could be restored? Or do you mean all of your documents?
Like everything, data, apps, everything?
Just the SD card. I mean, yeah, I don't. There's got to be. I wouldn't think that would even require any root access.
Right.
Web 9016 in the chat room says Titanium Backup can upload to Dropbox. I have seen that option in there, but again, that's for root devices. I don't know if there's an unrooted one, but if it's just your micro SD card, I mean, any app has access to the contents of your micro SD card. It's not like you need super user access from what I understand.
We'll double check and we'll email you, Eric O'Bain, but, I just wanted to get back to you on the G Slate thing and we didn't get to do that, but we really can't root that slate.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Although that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, those, who have not rooted or thinking, you know, wondering what some of the benefits are, that's one. So there
and,
you go.
Just if you're worried, I have since played the game again and have gotten
to normal.
I'm back up to that level where I was, maybe even better. So it's sort of like I learned from my mistakes. So it's almost better that I started from scratch.
You're kicking even more butt.
Twist your arm, make you play a game for a little longer.
Oh, my God.
No, right, exactly. All right, so Reed wrote in and said, he said that this is more or less for me, but I thought it had some really good points. And he said, I noticed over the course of the show's run, the talk of your next phone, Jason, hasn't really strayed from the Bionic. But why are you waiting? Given that all of Motorola's recent phones have been heavily locked down in terms of the bootloader, it would probably be safe to assume that the Bionic would be the same. It seems that for someone who enjoys rooting like you appear to, and I will say I actually do enjoy rooting, it would not be the phone of choice. Sure, you might be able to root it and get super user permissions, but I imagine that would be about all. No real custom ROMs like Cyanogen due to the kernel not being able to be replaced. I have the Droid 2 Global, and while Motorola has nice hardware and I've been able to tinker with it to some extent, I realize that locked bootloader is really a killer for someone who enjoys all the rooting ROMs and openness of Android. And what are your thoughts? I mean, those are all very, very good points. And I read this and we've had so many good points about why am I waiting for a new phone and everything. But after reading this, it kind of, you know, forced me to kind of think about it again. And I think my answer still, it comes back to this. Maybe the Bionic isn't the phone for me. And maybe I'm waiting because I want to see kind of what news surfaces around it. But I can't say that I've seen the phone for me yet. That's the problem, is that there is no phone on Verizon right now that I feel compelled to go out and get. So am I going to like just choose one because I can and then, you know, kick myself later? No, I'm cool to wait. Eileen, you were saying that
Samsung Galaxy S2, I've had a chance to hold it in my hands. It was a European version, but that is literally the phone that I'm salivating over. Now, from what I hear, it's going to come to all carriers except for T-Mobile. So I have a little problem with that. I have to figure something out because I really, really want that phone. But it should come to Verizon. And I'm telling you, that phone, not only thin, it feels like the Infuse, but there's a button. There's a home button on it, on the bottom. And I don't know. I mean, with everything, there's always questions on battery life and whatever. But it seemed like people that I've been reading on blogs who have had the review units love this phone. There are like 3 million pre-orders in various countries. It's selling out in various countries and even selling more than the iPhone in some other countries. So I think, I don't know, that might be your phone.
Yeah, I would consider that.
Forget the Bionic. Ron, you can have that. Samsung Galaxy 2 for Jason.
Ooh. No, you know my, I want them to get the Casio, one. That's my vote.
Wow, you could win on that one, let me tell you. No, I mean, the Samsung Galaxy S2, I would absolutely consider that. But there haven't been any formal announcements from Verizon about that yet, right? It's not actual kind of projections of what's to be released from Verizon, except for, I think, some leaks here and there. So I'm also still waiting to hear the official thing so that I know more. Believe me, I check my feeds every morning to see if a new Android phone has been announced by Verizon that I can possibly consider.
Mikey Chan says, hey, Eileen, T-Mobile is going to be AT&T. That's correct, but not before that Samsung Galaxy S2 phone comes out. So that's going to come out.
That whole T-Mobile AT&T thing is way off.
It's
got to get approved by the government first. It's got to go through. I mean, it's going to be at least almost a year before we see any differences from that. So
Yeah. All right, Ron, take the next email if you don't mind.
Next email is from Tom, who refers to a recent episode. I think it was it last episode where we mentioned Groove IP. That indeed he confirms that it lets you use your Google Voice number to make phone calls over Wi-Fi. But most important, you can call the U.S. from overseas for free, which is an awesome kind of feature. He says it works in his Motorola Atrix, Samsung Captivate, but not his Aria, and it works on T-Mobile G2 and the 4G.
Interesting.
So if you're looking for ways to call over Wi-Fi and save money, it looks like Groove IP is a good solution. And I would like to note that Tom sent this email from his iPad.
They always got to rub that in, don't they? At the end of their email, they always got to tell you.
Left that in the SIG that's sent from my iPad. So, you know, even though he has a Motorola Atrix, a Samsung Captivate, an Aria.
And all of that. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So. Thanks, Tom.
Right on. You know what? We are running short on time. I didn't realize what time it was. So this would actually be as good a time as any to at least let you know what we're doing next week. Next week, we're going to do another all feedback episode. It just went so well, and it's been we did it at episode 6, and now it's episode 12. Mm-hmm. So why not have that be the thing for no particular reason? It'll be every 6 episodes, at least we get sick of that. But we are looking forward to doing this. So what you can do is, get in touch with us, aaa@twit.tv, or leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, and send us your questions or your comments or anything Android related. Next week's episode will be all feedback, and it'll be a grab bag in the arena.
Yep.
So
grab bag. I think I got a good one. I have a beef with Instagram, so I've got something for you guys.
Ooh, I got a beef with Instagram too. I want to hear what you've got then, because their platform.
I don't think my app is going to overtake them, but it's something.
at least it's an option. As
it
opposed
is an
to
option.
Nothing.
Yes. Wait till you hear the name. Anyway,
sure.
Tease.
All right. So with that, that's the show. Ron, tell people where they can find you and what you're up to.
Find me on Twitter at twitter.com/RonXO. And you can find me, as always, over at ifanboy.com, talking about comics, and on graphly.com, where you can read comics on your phone, on your Android phone. So pretty cool stuff.
Radical stuff. And Eileen?
You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV.
All right. And I am Raygun01 on Twitter. You can find me there. And other than that, just, get in touch with us. Give us your feedback. aaa@twit.tv, 347-SHOW-AA. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you could also send us a video mail to our email.
We like to see your face.
Yeah, we'd love to see your face. You never write anymore. Come on. you can hit us up on Twitter at Android Show. Check out the show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can check us out live every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. And I believe that's it. Another episode of All About Android is done. So with that, I'll leave you on an outro video here. Bye.
Bye.